Chapter 16, where you's at? I don't get very seldom I'm preaching in the same chapter that we read on Sunday mornings, but it did happen here this morning. I'm preaching in verse 13 and verse number 14 for about 3 or 4 weeks here. There's five things that God says. Now, one thing you want to, I'm going to preach on verse 13. I preached the first week on watching. God wants us to be alert, to wake up, know what's going on around us, to be careful and aware of the fact that Satan wants to take us to hell, ruin our families, ruin our marriages, steal our kids. He's trying to kill our country. And God says, watch ye. And it's a time to be alert. Secondly, last week we preached on stand fast in the faith. And I'll tell you, we need to have some convictions and not be compromisers. And we need to stand fast in the faith. Then this week I want to preach on this phrase, quit you like men. Is everybody there? Say amen. Amen. I tell you, you need to have your Bible open and with you. Ain't nothing like having a Bible on your lap and Jesus in your heart. Amen. And I tell you, that's a good place to be. But I want to preach on this subject, quit you like men. Now, I'm going to preach. This is going to be a pretty tough message today, and I'm going to try to stay behind the pulpit. I'll try not to walk on the top of too many pews. And because what I'm going to talk to you, I'm very serious about. This is a very important subject to me. When I was growing up, I went to church, but I just went to church. And I was religious, but I was lost. And whenever I got to be a teenager, I went down the same road everybody else was going, and that was a punky, pansy, sissy, but all the time thinking that I was a man. And I did not have a clue what it was to be a biblical man. And boy, the one thing that happened to me when I got saved at 28 years of age, first time in my life, I ever felt like a real man. Because God did something in me, made me not care what everybody else thought anymore, and to come out for Christ clean, unashamedly. And the first time in my life, I felt like a man. I didn't care if it was Jack Frost or anybody else. I don't care who knows I'm a Christian. And I'm telling you something, we need that kind of freedom. But I want to preach on several different things. And Paul is closing out 1 Corinthians. Again, this is a cosmopolitan city over there on the Mediterranean Sea. It's about like San Francisco is in our day, or New Orleans, or something like that. And the place was a mess. And he's went in there and preached to these people. People got saved, started this church. He had a lot of problems. They didn't know, you know, upside down what was right. And he's written about a lot of issues of their life. Now, one thing Paul is really trying to reestablish, and I want you to listen to me today, and I don't want you to go out here and say I said something I didn't. Paul established in this church the spiritual leadership of men.
Amen.
Now, I want you to take your Bible, flip back to chapter 14, and I want you to look what God said. Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in chapter 14, and I'll tell you, you won't hear this preached in half the churches or 10% of the churches in this country, but he got up there, and he's leading up to chapter 15 there. And in chapter 14, he said there in verse number 34, above that in verse 33, he said, God's not the author of confusion, but of peace as in all the church of the saints. Now, I want to tell you something. I love women. My mama was a woman. I love women. My wife's a woman. I got three daughters. They're women. I love women. So don't you go out here and say, I got something against women. All right? Because if you do, you're going to say, God's got something against women. God made them. He thought they're pretty nice. But God said in verse 34, he said, let your women keep silence in the churches. He said, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. You don't hear that preached in 95% of the churches in America. But they're commanded to be in law and obedience as saith the law. Now watch verse 35. He is establishing the leadership of men, and he's trying to straighten up that cosmopolitan mess that we've got in America. If they'll learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. God don't want you women coming up to me and talking to me and asking me and all. He wants you to ask your husband. Say amen right there. I tell you what, we need mankind again. And by the way, you women, help your husband be a spiritual leader. Don't talk to him or act to him like he don't know nothing. If he don't know nothing, don't tell him so. I've got a message entitled, Why God Chose, Why God Allows Stupid Men to Be Leaders of Smart Women. Most women are smarter than men when it comes to brain power. Did you know that? Intellectual brain power. Women are smart. Most men ain't got enough sense to come out of the rain. It has nothing to do. God ordained man. He created Adam. He created Eve. She to be helpmate. And God established order in this country, in this world. And I'm telling you, the story when he said, ask her husband at home. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. When's the last time you heard that preached on? He comes up in chapter 16 now and says, watch, he stand fast in the faith. And he says to the men of the Corinthian church, quit yourselves like men. That don't mean stop being man. It means act like, conduct yourself, have the character of a man. America's dying because we're losing manhood in this country. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a part of the country at a time in history when we still had some men. I tell you what, there's an attack on manhood on this country. We've got a bunch of snowflakes, a bunch of sissy boys. And they're being taught to be sissies, look like sissies, cut their hair like sissies, dress like sissies. We need a revival of manhood in this country. Satan hates spiritual manhood leadership. He hates it. He's a pervert, and he tries to flip it upside down all the time. Anyway, I get wound up here. But you go back to Genesis chapter 3, God will tell you all about it. It's a foundational deal. Now, at the foundation of liberalism and progressivism, and actually the Democrat Party right now, it's an attack upon manhood. Because God established men to be the head of the home and the spiritual leader and their family and so forth. Satan knows that, so he's trying to flip it, has flipped it, and wreck it, and he's trying to wreck our nation out. Now, I'm going to... I don't know, man. It's going to be crazy, all right? But anyway, let me just say something to you this morning. Men, in way of introduction, don't allow your wife to instigate strife and division to stir up trouble against anybody, especially the brethren. Lead your family. Larry Brown got up here and preached on about blowing the whistle on the wolf. And he said this, he said, if you study a pack of wolves, he said, there's no big, the alpha male, he's out in front, and his little sweetie pie's behind him, and he's acting like he's leading, but he's always turning around to see which way she's going to go. And I'm going to tell you something we got in this country. We got a bunch of women who act like they're spiritual, but they're not. They're cloaked their wickedness in spiritual demean. We got a bunch of men who act like they're spiritual leaders, but they're run by their wives back at the house. Biggest trouble I've ever had in the ministry was that junk right there. Now, you can be a stay-at-home mother and wife, and it's a wonderful thing, but you can also be a Jezebel trouble stirrer. You can be a busybody. Now, you men, you say, what do I do with that? You stop that. You tell your wife, honey, we ain't doing that. I had a neighbor, you ain't gonna like this, some of you will have a cow before I get done. I had a neighbor one time, his wife got out of sorts, and he's a nice guy. And he's telling me about something, she got smarting off to him at the supper table. He said, I looked at him, and I ain't gonna say the name, and he said, no, I told him, he said, no, don't talk to me like that. And she kind of snorted a little bit, said, I just got up, pulled my chip real calm, went over, said, I just lifted her out of the chair, set her on my lap, said, now you talk to me like that anymore, I'll give you a spanking. And he said, and I'm in. I looked at her. Now, I'm just going to say something. Some of you already got that look in your eye. This guy's crazy. Now, I'm going to talk about something. Because I believe in spiritual men's leadership, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. My wife and I, we work together as a team. I'm not some big bully on her. I'm not some big dog. The fact of it is, I highly respect her opinion. And I always try to check with her, unless it's something I really want that I don't think she's going to want me to buy. But anyway, honey, guess what I got? If your husband tells you to go shopping, first thing is, what'd you buy? That's what you always say, okay? Now, I'm going to address an issue this morning, and we're going to get dicey, all right? This is going to be fun. Y'all ready to have some fun? I've taken a lot of slack from several directions over the last 2 or 3 years because I supported my daughter Hannah to be when she ran for office. And I've wanted to address this for about 2 years, and God never would let me. Just said, hold tight, Reggie. Hold your cards close to your chest. I'm going to address it this morning because I've been made out to be a hypocrite because my daughter is in the legislature. Now, I'm going to tell you this flat out. If she had been a wife and a mother and had children, I would have strongly discouraged her from running, but I wouldn't have commanded her not to. But I said, Hannah, I don't know if I do that or not. You've got your wife and a mother. But she wasn't, and she's still not. Now, I'm not saying that that's right. That's just how I would have handled that. And some have tried to correlate her running for office as a call to preach. I'm going to tell you right now, Hannah never told me she was called to preach. And if she hadn't, I said, you ain't been called to preach. God don't call women to preach. Okay? But that's not an equal or just comparison to say, well, that's like her being called a priest. That's not true. That's a wrong assessment of that thing. Now, Deborah was a judge. Now, you listen to me, young. We get done. Deborah was a judge. I don't think God necessarily liked it, but you know what was going on in the book of Judges? Men weren't being spiritual leaders. Did you know what Isaiah chapter 3 says? When men won't be spiritual leaders, women will rule over you. That's what's going on in America right now. Amen. You know what's funny to me? Now, this is just the honest truth. My daughter, she got half of me in her. Hannah can be very, very firm. But she's also kind when she's firm. That's how me and her are different. I'm firm, but not kind. She's firm but kind. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know how many found it out, but when she stands on an issue, it's like a brick wall. I mean, it's like a concrete wall. And the funny thing about it is she's took a stand on issues that men won't take a stand on. Isn't that weird? You know what God says? If you men ain't going to do what you're supposed to do, I'll put somebody in there. Well, I mean, and isn't that sad? Because you see, down the mountain, now I'm going to throw a hardball at you. Are you ready? Got your glove up? Did you know what? We'd be better off today if women weren't voting. A lot of you women think, oh, you're against the Equal Rights Amendment. No, I'm going to tell you something. This country was founded. You listen to me now. This country was founded as a representative republic. You listen to me? That means that I vote for somebody to represent me in government, whether it's on a local basis, a U.S. Congress, state government, whatever. I vote for somebody to represent me there. Did you know how your founding father looked at the family as a representative government? And they said that daddy is the representative of the family. It wasn't that they didn't want mama to have an issue or have her thoughts and her heart into the vote, but it was to her and her husband was to discuss about what they're going to vote about, and the husband went and voted and represented that. And when somebody tells you, oh, they're a bunch of machinist men, a bunch of old dictator men, when they didn't want their wives to vote. No, that's not true at all. That's a stinking liberal lie. Right. Our forefathers wanted women to be, they wanted their opinion and stuff. They just wanted the husband to represent the family, like the Bible says. You got a problem with that? You take it up with God. Okay? But I honestly think today that we'd still be better off if we had the men representing the women in the voting booth and the wives would, you know, because most men. Can I tell you something about how men's leadership? I've been doing sales for about 45 years. This is something I learned when I was 21 years old auctioneering. I'm selling this tractor, okay, brother Lawrence, I'm selling this tractor, and I'm up there, and this tractor's getting up, and it's getting up, and it's getting up, everybody, you're right at the top of its value, you know, and that guy, he's sitting there going like that. And it gets up there just at the top, and his wife stands back over here about 2 feet. And you know what every husband in the country except about 1% will do? He'll go. And this is honest truth. And she goes. He goes. And then she goes. Nope, done. Act like he's the one that made the decision. He didn't make the decision at all. He asked his wife. I'm not telling you 1,000 times. I've been selling a cow in front of me, and my husband, he said, turn bid, and all of a sudden he gets up there, you know, where it's about top of the deal, you know, and he'll turn around and look at her, and she goes, no. You know what I learned? Men aren't running the show. They are not running the show. And what I will find out some of you. Yeah, you sit there. I'll find out. Your wife tells you, you've been on that 4-wheeler, and she says, we're done. We'll find out who's the boss at your house. Amen. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I tell you what I did learn was that 1% of men, this is 1 in 1,000. Guy's bidding. His wife grabs his arm. She's going, no. He just says, that's a 1 in 1,000 guy. That's a one. I'm serious as about death with you. I mean, I'd probably be one of the 99 bunch. But Karen said, Reggie, we are done and out of here. I'd probably go, you know, okay, all right. But anyway, Hannah Renette, and I'm just saying this, Hannah never claimed she had a call to preach. And I just don't appreciate people comparing that, all right? She's not here today. I can say what I want to about her. But the Bible says that women rule over you as a judgment. Now, some of the same people that condemned her for running and accused me of being hypocrites, now this is funny to me, but they voted for women other times. Uh-oh. They voted for Sarah Palin. And they voted for state government, women in state government races and county races. But when it came to her, and we got a chance to make him out to be a hypocrite. So you do what you want to with it, all right? But all of a sudden, they were super spiritual and not voting for her on the basis that she's a woman. Now, you ought to at least confess. You ought to at least confess your sin of voting for a woman in the past and be consistent and say you're a hypocrite, too. I'm going to hide behind the pulpit right now. Everybody raise your hand who has voted for a woman sometime in your life. I've got my eyes closed, my head's bowed, nobody's looking around. See, the truth about it is, we just need to be consistent, all right? Now, if you don't like her, or you don't like the way she stands on the issues, don't vote for "that's mine, I'm not up here on a deal about it, I don't need to," because I'm just telling you that. But I've got concerns if a woman's married with children. If she was married with children, I'd say, you better be thinking about that really hard, what you're doing. I'm telling you. And anyway, here's another issue. Is it wrong for women to teach at schools? I mean, if it's wrong here, what, you know, I'm just asking real questions today, real questions, because we're not careful. We've got this section, well, oh, they shouldn't do that, but over here it's okay. The woman teaching at school, she's not at her house with her husband and children. But somehow or another in our culture, that's okay, but other issues are not okay. Isn't it funny how hypocritical we can be? And I'm not condemning anybody about that. I mean, if you have a personal conviction on that, it don't matter. But let me just take this a little bit deeper. How about lady missionaries? You know, I get the missionary magazine, and on the back maybe of a mission magazine, and here's 14 of our latest missionary candidates that's just about ready. And guess what? Tell me. All of them be women. Maybe one man. Maybe one man on the back of a missionary magazine who says, I'll go. I'll go. I'll go. Don't talk to me about it. It's not the women the problem. The men are not leading. Amen. That's the real problem. It's been that way now for 50 or 60 years. Got a bunch of boys who, hey, if God hadn't called you, God hadn't called you. But I'm going to tell you right now, where's the men at? But boys say, hey, well, man, I got to have this, and I got to have this, and I got to have this, and I can't have that on the mission field. And so our country will die and go to hell because men won't answer the call to get the gospel out. Oh, well, let's just get really, really close to home. Heritage Christian Academy. You know, if I come up here tomorrow morning, Danny, you know what I'm going to see? Guess what I'm going to see? I'm going to see a whole bunch of women here. Guess what else I'm going to see? Not one man! If I had to depend upon men to run that school would shut down tomorrow! So don't talk to me about it. See, don't give that to me. I'm talking about quit yourselves like men. And until men say, you know what, I'm going to seek the Lord first and all these things will be added to me. That's where we're really at. And we don't like to talk about this stuff. And I'm not saying it's easy even for me to talk about because I'm the world's worst. I'm guilty. But the fact that more and more women are involved in church, business, political arenas is a sure sign of the abdication in actuality of men stepping up to the plate in leadership of any area of our life. And it all started in the home when a lazy hound dog was more interested in fishing, golfing, hunting, or doing nothing. And he wasn't praying with his wife. He wasn't having family devotions. He wasn't training and raising his children to nurture and admonition of the Lord. And they wanted the school and the church to do what God told them to do. Amen. That's just a fact. I'm not trying to be mean this morning, but it's not easy to preach on this stuff. Just to be honest with you, because, you know, a lot of people just think you ought to shut up about it. Now, I'm going to give you three areas of failure in manhood today. Number one is a personal relationship with God failure. You cannot be to your wife what you should be, nor to your children what you should be, unless you have a personal walk with God. I want to talk to everybody here. If you're not saved, first thing you need to do is get born again of the Spirit of God. You need to repent of your sin. You need to realize you're a hell-deserving sinner. You're guilty as hell itself. And I'm telling you, apart from Jesus Christ, you're going to bust hell wide open. And you need to realize that you need to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. It's the only way you can be reconciled. You need to come to God with a repentant heart, a repentant soul. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that He died in your place for your sin. And His blood was shed in your place. And God put wrath against Him so that you can be forgiven. And you can be reconciled to God. And it's the only way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. You have to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior to be saved. And until that happens, nothing else is going to go. And I'm saying this, you need to be reconciled through faith in the blood of Christ. And then you need to be ruled by the Word of God. That means you say, all right, I'm a Christian now. The Bible is my rule, practice, and authority. And in that, you need to learn to love the Lord and fear the Lord and walk with the Lord. And this first issue carries into all others. Now, here's where I'm going with this. Because we don't have that foundational issue of a personal relationship. I'm talking about not church. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about being a phony baloney. I'm talking about a genuine relationship with our boys in our churches and the men in our churches. This leads to the second area of failure. And this is personal morality. When I grew up, we milked cows. And in our milk barn, we had an old box radio. I know you kids don't know anything about those, but they had knobs on it. They're quite the creature if you ever find one. And that old radio would sit in there and we'd have it tuned. If Dad was there, it was on KWTO and Bill Ring. Anybody remember that? Okay. But if Dad wasn't there, you turned the knob to find the station. The little thing went across and we'd find the rock and roll. And about every small town in here in Missouri played rock and roll records. And, you know, and they'd count, "We're having the rock and roll countdown tonight," you know. And so I grew up in the time of Elvis Presley and the Beatles. All that 64. I was born in 53. Elvis Presley, you know, and James Dean before that and all that junk, you know. And so Elvis Presley comes on and when he come on the Ed Sullivan show, they would not show his waist. The cameras would not move below his waist. Because he was moving in a seductive, immoral, wicked way with his body. That's how much America has changed. But with that culture came the Playboy magazine, Hugh Hefner. And with that culture came the rock and roll music, which was born. And that's why I hate rock and roll music in churches. You will never convince this preacher that that has any place in a church house. Amen. It came out of the bowels of hell and it came into our churches. And so you have, and all the music was about was sex and lust and girls. And then you turned it over to country western when it was Conway Twitty singing about getting in bed with somebody else's wife. So that's the culture I grew up in. And the culture that this nation formulated from after post-World War II was that if you were a true man, you chased women. And the more women you could be with, the bigger man you were. Don't sit there like you don't know that. You know that. And what happened was, because there became a void in our churches, and we weren't preaching the truth about it, and I mean coming to bat about this thing, we came into our churches on Sunday mornings and Sunday night, whatever, and then went out and lived like the world the rest of the week. And chased our women. But here's the bad thing that happened. Do you want to know why the feminist movement came up? It came up because American men abdicated their spiritual leadership. And part of that spiritual leadership is loving their wives. And having a morality that respects women. And this is a big subject with me. If you've never read my book, you'll know by what time you're done. But listen to me. Girls, for the last 70 years in this country, grew up thinking that if they were going to get the attention of boys, they needed to look like a Playboy model. Right. And they needed to look seductive, and they needed to parade themselves. But then the girls found out something, that they're trash in that culture. A girl was to be used and then tossed. Used, tossed. Used, tossed. And her heart. And now I'm not excusing the wickedness of women. They ain't anything any more wicked than a Jezebel woman. But let me tell you something. Everything rises and falls upon leadership. And when men in America decided that manhood was going to be defined as how many girls you could be with and throw away and how many hearts you could break. And that's the definition of manhood. Did you know what happened to women? They learned to hate men. Can I tell you, America's full of women who hate men's guts. That's where you get the most of your lesbianism. They hate men because men treated them like trash. Hey, it's either their daddy molested them when they were a girl or some boy used them up and threw them out like a piece of trash. And it's happened over and over again and they've trusted and trusted and trusted and trusted. And they found out they can't trust anybody. I hate men. But we brought it on ourselves. because we act like dogs. We're just running the country. The average boy is just in a car running the country like a dog. And it damaged and it made wounded spirits. And right now in this country, we have millions of bitter, hard, callous women. They're men haters. They found out the men were liars, deceivers, say anything to get what they wanted. And men were foolish and wicked. And then the men had burned out lust, and that's where you get your sodomites from. And they were ruled by their own lust and passions. Then the third area that it moves into is when a man becomes a husband. Ephesians chapter 5 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. And just to be honest with you, we have failed. I'm a failure. But I here's the way I look at it. Even though I have not been what I wanted to be and should be, I want to be, and I'm going to strive till my last breath to try to be that. And I'm telling you something. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that as Christ, that word as means that Christ should be our pattern. But you know what? In this country right now, boys and girls have grown up in homes where daddy didn't love mama. Women have grown up and women have lived marriages where all they felt like was, you know, just an object. He doesn't love me for me. He loves me for what I can do for him. Christ's love to the church is intimate. God will listen to you. God will stop and take time to listen to you. And a man needs to stop and take time to listen to his wife. God's love toward the church is it's like a prince. And in verse 23, with some dignity. Christ's love is of the physician. He said there's the flesh and join the bone and fix the problems. It's always been very hard for me and Karen and I get into it. Karen, we got into it once or twice since we've been married, haven't we? Once or twice. Never been easy for me to try to fix it. But you know what? When you got problems with your wife, a husband ought to be the first one moves. But we're so full of pride. But the men ought to be the way it wants to say, honey, listen, let's just stop. Sit down. Let's go outside. Sit down. Let's get in the car. Take a drive. We've got to get this fixed. And I'll tell you something further. If you got into it in front of your kids and you had a woo-hoo in front of your kids, you need to set the kids down and say, listen, Aunt Day loves each other, but we're flesh too. We've asked God to forgive us. We're asking you kids to forgive us. I want to get this fixed. I don't want it to damage you. Amen. That makes sense? I'm talking about loving. And I know these are entire subjects, but then you look at a father. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, following chapter 5, it says, you fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, my boy's all gone, but if I had the opportunity to do it again, I'd do more praying with them. I'd do more stopping out there in the hayfield and say, boys, let's pray and ask God to help us here. So the dearest, clearest memories I have is being out in the yard and just saying, boys, let's pray. And I'm going to tell you, boys need a daddy that will kneel with them and pray. I can tell you right now, my boys, my preaching to my boys and my children is like a bell clanging. They know what I'm going to say before I say it. They sat for 38 years and heard me preach. And then they've watched my life. But I'm going to tell you what will stay with them is the reality of prayer time and just being humble and being honest. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them and train them. And you can go into Deuteronomy chapter 4 and Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Bible says you're to talk about the Word of God when you lie down, when you get up, when you walk about and all that. And I would just encourage us men today to just slow it down a little bit. Spend some time talking to our kids, praying with them, have some family devotions. If we're too busy for that, we're just way too busy. And life will shove you. And we'll be driven by life instead of led by the Lord. I give you some things today. In other words, be a man. Quit yourself like men of a biblical conviction. In other words, get some things down in your heart and your soul you believe and stand by it and quit being a compromiser. Your boys only believe what they see you stand under pressure about. Your testimony on Wednesday night prayer meeting doesn't mean much to them until they see you stand under pressure and lose friends and lose money for your cause of Christ. You need to be a man of the Bible. Read your Bible. Read this book. Know this book. Not for pride and not to talk about how much you know about the Bible, but read it for your own growth and your spiritual knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and what the truth is about things so you can know the truth and the lies of this world. Know this book. Karen and I have been reading together in Ezekiel, and I tell you what, it just amazes me the things that comes out. We're reading in the book of Mark, and I'm just telling you, just having those times of reading together. Then be a man of faith. Believe God at all odds. No matter what happens, trust Him. Read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Learn those men of faith. Learn the challenges they went through. Learn what the pressures they went through. And then be a man of humility. Pride is one of the greatest enemies men have. Nearly every day of my life, God shows me something, the way I acted or the way I thought, that was a thought of pride. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And if we want to quit ourselves, in other words, conduct ourselves as men, we need to be men of biblical conviction, men of the Bible, men of faith, men of humility, and then be a man of endurance. Be a man of endurance. Don't fold up and quit. Stay in there. God hasn't called you and I to be rich. He's called us to be faithful. He hasn't called us to be famous. He's called us to be faithful and endure some things, endure some toughness, endure hardness as a good soldier of the cross. And then be a man of protection. Protect your family. Man alive, I tell you, talk about a challenge today with all the garbage going on. I talked to a father this week, and he said, Reggie, he said, my teenage child, he said, well, we've let them have a phone, but their phone's connected to mine. He said, I know everything that's going through that phone. Protecting your children this day and time is a challenge. It really is. But you need to sit down and figure out some ways. And kids, can I give you some advice? If your mom and dad's trying to protect you and say, no, we're not going to do this or we're not going to have that, would you trust that God is working through your mother and your father for your benefit and for your good? They're not against you. I don't know a mom and dad in this building that's against their kids. In fact, it's all of them I know are really for them. And they're trying to help you. Let your parents protect you from some things. And then we need to be men of provision. That means get out and work and labor. Sometimes it won't always be what we wanted it to be. I got so tickled that my mom, she talked to me this morning, she was talking to me about some things, and she said, Reggie, when we were kids, I mean, they just had 15 kids, Planned Parenthood never got a hold of them. And my mom said Saturdays would come, and we'd be home from school, and said, my grandpa said, one of the things he told us, all of us girls had to go get a dust rag. And she said, every piece of furniture and every shelf and everything in that whole house better be dusted. She said, you know, I've often wondered, what was he doing that? Every Saturday we had to do that. And then she said, the other Saturday job I had was to go out, and she said, we had a lot of chickens, and we sold eggs and so forth. And she said, you know, chickens have roosters. They're not all hens. And she said, my grandpa would say, now, Reet, he called her Reet. He said, Reet, you go out there and kill a rooster. And she said, my job was every Saturday was to go out and kill a rooster. She said, I'd kiss that rooster. And she said, I'd kill that rooster. All you girls ought to have to kill a rooster. Amen. All you're giving me a funny look right there. Boy, I tell you what, how many's killed a rooster? Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Almost. And I look around. You look around you. I tell you what, Susanna, I think next week we're going to kill a rooster just because you ain't got to do that. Roll, have you ever killed a rooster? Well, I'd love to have a rooster killing next week. Amen. And we'll have rooster. And the blood, she said, it'd shoot out of that oil. And she said, I'd put my foot on it and pull it by the head and it wouldn't have come. Oh, it was an awful thing, she said. But she said, every Saturday my job was to kill the rooster. And she said, then I had to pluck the rooster and then gut the rooster. And then she said, and clean the rooster. And then she said, guess what? That's going to get you. She said, I kind of wrapped the rooster up. And she said, we dropped him down in the well. To keep him cool for frying on Sunday morning. Where there's a will, there's a way. Amen. Now, some of you thinking, I can see chicken blood dripping down in the well. I know, but I think they kind of fixed that where that wouldn't happen. But what I'm saying to you, she said, my daddy kept us busy. And my mama worked your hide off, I'm telling you. And you need to be a worker. And you need, I'm telling you something, we need to teach our boys how to work. Amen. We got too many snowflakes knowing how to do nothing. Do you boys know what a 9/16 inch ranch is? I figured you did. Your daddy made sure you knew what a 9/16 inch ranch is. But we got a bunch of these stinking little snowflakes don't even know it's a ranch, much less a 9/16. Amen. I tell you what, listen, I'm buying Susanna a chainsaw for Christmas. Amen. She wants one. I'm going to buy Hannah an axe and a pole saw, one of them things that gets limbs, you know. That's the kind of gifts you ought to buy your kids. Amen. And your boys, I tell you what, you need to buy them a sledgehammer and tell them there's a bunch of big rocks out there in the field. Go beat the top off of them. Amen. They'll come back to the house not wanting to watch Rompy Doodle. They want to eat something. Amen. I'm thinking of that old boy, that old judge up in, and I know him, up into Ohio. He's a drug head and a stringy hippie drug head. And the judge told him, said, I'm telling you, I'm sending you straight to prison. You're not coming before this bench to me no more. And his daddy stepped up and said, listen, if I could get him out of the state, would you just let him alone? He said, if you'll get him out of the state and keep him out of the state, you can take him. I don't want him even in prison up here. And he sent him off down to an uncle in Mississippi that was a logger. And he said the first morning, he said, we got up and he said we pulled in there and said, man, she had biscuits and gravy and eggs and bacon and grits and boil. He said, seen all that. And then he said they pulled out a box of Fruit Loops. And he said, my uncle asked me, he said, what do y'all, biscuits and gravy or Fruit Loops? I want Fruit Loops. And he said, I ate myself a little handful of Fruit Loops and we went to Logging Woods. He said, that's the last morning I ever ate Fruit Loops in my life. I'm going to tell you something. They put him out there in that log woods. I'm going to tell you right now, that's what kids need. Amen? Amen. Some of you need to cut about 42 rank of wood this winter and quit being a sissy. I can't stand sissies. And I don't care much for tomboys. You be a girl. You be a girl. You be a lady. Amen? Anyway, that was for free. Then be a man of wisdom. Learn to see things from God's perspective. Be a man of understanding God's ways. And can I tell you something? Be a soul winner. You ain't really a man until you're willing to talk to another man about his soul. Until that time, you're a little coward. Did you hear me? That's why some of you boys ain't a man yet. Because you're afraid of what your buddy think about you if he's mentioned Jesus' name. I had a man tell me yesterday, him and his wife come upon a wreck. And she said, Reggie, she said, I don't know that he made it. I doubt that he made it. Said he had blood coming out of his mouth, blood coming out of his nose, blood coming out of his ears. And said, my husband and I knelt down there on the right of way to try to take care of him and do what we could do. And she said, my husband started telling him to call on Jesus. And she said, Reggie, every time the name Jesus came out of my husband's mouth, said that man would jerk like that. And said he'd lay there a little while and pretty soon he'd say something about Jesus. He'd jerk like that. I said, you're just dealing with a demon-possessed man. There's not there. You know why you boys won't say Jesus' name to anybody? Because there's power in it and Satan's it working against you. He don't want you to say it because of power in it. Can I tell you something? You might, hey, do you listen to me? You play ball all your life with your buddies and they'll not remember very much about it. But you mention Jesus to them one day and that telling you want to die and go to hell, they'll never forget you. You be a man. Be a man of communication. Don't do like I do sometimes, soul up. You ever watched an old sow sew up? How many of you ever tried to load a sullen sow? Oh, I'll tell you what. Some of us, aren't us men a bunch of sow? How many of you women would? My husband, don't do that. Don't say it here. Don't say it here. But men are bad to sew up. Then be a man of action. Don't just talk. We've got enough rattlers. But let's be men to do something. Get up and do something. Be a man of prayer. If you're going to be a man, when he says quit yourselves like men, be a man of prayer. I'll tell you what, be a man like Daniel. Be like Elijah. Be like Jesus. Get up in the morning and spend some time with God. Get out there somewhere and pray and talk to God. And then be a man of charity. It ain't all about getting all you can, canning all you get and sitting on the can. You ain't taking nothing with you. You say, I ain't got nothing to give. Well, go over and help and cut a rank of wood. Do something. Give them something out of the garden. Be a man of charity. And don't expect everybody to know about it and applaud you about it and pat you back about it. And then be a man of discernment. See through things, people. My daddy, boy, he had discernment. I didn't get what he had, but boy, he had it. And then be a man of service. Figure out how you can serve people and serve the Lord. That's kind of when you quit yourselves like men. As I said earlier, be a man that's saved. Let me ask you men something. If your children follow you into eternity, where will they follow you to? If your children follow you into eternity, where will they be? I'm going to ask you a question. We like to say we're men. Have you ever literally looked in the eyes of your children and said, son, are you saved? Are you really saved? And they may say, well, Daddy, I went forward and I was 6 years old. I didn't ask you if you went forward. I said, are you saved? You have Christ. A man will talk to his children about the real issues of life. Quit yourselves like men. Paul is saying, you men in Corinthians, quit yourselves like men. Be a man who knows Jesus Christ. Be a man who's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. I'm a little aggravated. I had some friends who came to visit church today and they didn't bring their instruments with them. No, I'm just aggravated. Do you boys often sin that way? Did you know that heathen knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it sin? You boys don't know me very well, but I'll aggravate you to pieces, all right? But Junior and his family, I want to say thank you for helping Austin and the folks yesterday. And I apologize for not being there. Had a little mix-up on that whole situation, but it really all worked out good. But the next time you come, you don't have a fiddle, you ain't coming in. You better have both arms and drag it stuff. But they've been such a blessing, and I appreciate them. And just good to have you. I love all of you. Tonight we're going to just come, and we're going to go out there on the ball field. Somebody will have fire, I hope, and bring you a chair, bring you some food together, and we'll have a time of fellowship. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't want no clanning up. You go over and sit with somebody you don't know very well and say, hey, I've been seeing you at church for the last 17 years. What's your name? Amen. And get around and visit. You kids go out there on the ball field and have you the biggest time. Run, break a leg, break an arm or two. And remember a Sunday night in the fall and how folks enjoyed the Lord. Okay? We'll do that tonight. Other visitors, we're glad that you're here. I see some folks. Ava? Would that be right? Good to have you folks here. And I'm sure there's others I miss, but I love y'all. Appreciate you being here. Linda Lakey, how you doing? Are you still killing fish? Not as much as you'd like. Oh, my land. The pictures I see, mercy sakes alive. But Brother Paul, how you doing? Good to see you, Paul. We love you. Glad God sent you to this area of the country. Junior, would you dismiss us from a service today? You wouldn't mind doing that, would you? I'd appreciate it.